Although you're not shy about telling people about Bethel. But here you go. Hand them out. Everybody gets one. And if you don't, we also have some leftover 1-0 bracelets, if you remember that from Lent a couple years ago. Remember 1-0? Live every moment 1-0. If you want some extra bracelets, take those. So hand them out to guys. And why don't we get some, why don't we have some walking music? What do you think would be a good song to sing with this? All right, go ahead, pass them out. Pass them out. Da, 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 da. All right. Yay! All right, so just pass them out. And you can pass them out while we're doing the readings, and then we'll continue going. So, thank you. Everybody take some. Wonderful job.
That was perfect. Pat Shields and Tracy. Cass and Cal are now the chairpersons for the Evangelism Committee. Okay? I have finally reached puberty, and my voice is changing, so please bear with me. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from Galatians, the 6th chapter. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap what you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow in the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may be boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of the town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Seated. You know, it really is a different perspective sitting here, preaching from here than from up there. You see, when you're sitting here, I can see the choir, I can look right up here at Jesus on the cross, I see the elements, I see the baptismal font. I don't see all of you, but truth be told, I'm looking over your heads anyway. You know, perspective matters. And so often we set up this dichotomy in the church where the official people are up here and then the regular people are down here. But the reality is, my call as pastor is to be one who comes from the people and plays this particular part within our community. There is no hierarchy. It is one body who serves together. That's why I sit down here now. You may have noticed that. I sit down here to remind myself and to hopefully be a model for you to see that I come from the body to serve among you as one of you. And it's very important that we have different perspectives. Anybody here sit in the same place almost every Sunday? Now, granted, look, you guys are kind of, we don't make it easy for you. And of course, you have to sit in your singing rows, and that's fine. So, you guys are forgiven for that. However, every now and then, I'm not saying change forever. But maybe once in a while, change your perspective. Maybe sit in another spot. Maybe you'll get to meet somebody you don't know as well. Be careful, though, because you may sit in a spot and somebody doesn't want you to sit there. So here's what I would suggest. Plan ahead. Say, okay, look, Curtis, I really want to sit where you're sitting right now, but I'm going to do it in 2 weeks. So you give him time to prepare himself, or however it turns out. You see, perspective matters. Perspective matters. That's really what's a part of all of our lives. As a matter of fact, our different perspectives often cause dissonance, doesn't it? Somebody brings a perspective from here, and somebody comes a perspective from here, and they're at cross purposes. However, what we try to do as Christians is to find and share the perspective of Jesus in all things, and how that can shape our living and life every day. You see, Jesus changed perspectives of his disciples today. Beforehand, Jesus was the leader. Jesus was the healer. Jesus was the teacher. And he remained all those things. However, he changed their perspective by saying, I am now giving you the authority to do the things that I do. Can you imagine being one of those 70 people who Jesus says, I'm sending you out now. This is how you're supposed to go out and do the things that I do. They must have been terrified. They trusted and went out, but that was a pretty trepidatious thing. I'm sure. But it is the change perspective that is needed for us to see that the work of Christ in this world is done by us. We are the hands, the feet, we are the eyes, the ears, we are the broken body of Christ in this world. Peace happens when we enact peace. Love happens, forgiveness, reconciliation, mercy, compassion. All of those things happen as we change our perspective to Jesus's and live that out in our spheres of influence, in our relationships. Not one of us is called to save the world. Jesus has saved the world, but we are the ones that help the world begin to feel saved. And to hear the story again and again that they are saved. Changing our perspective is often called making a paradigm shift. And Bethel is in the midst of a paradigm shift. With last week being Brian's last Sunday among us before they moved to Colorado, we are in the midst of learning and seeing ourselves from a different perspective. And that's a good thing. That is who God is among us. But the reality is, changing perspective takes effort and work. All of us have to put in that effort and work together. To be willing to have conversations with those with whom our perspectives differ. Whether those are people within our congregation or somewhere else. If we look at all of the world, we see that changing of paradigm and perspective is where new things happen. We were at once, when we founded our nation, an agricultural nation that was moving into becoming an industrial nation, who has now become a technological nation. And throughout all of those changes, it's been hard to learn a new perspective. Yet, the beauty of this nation, and I think the beauty of our Christian faith, is that we aren't afraid to face new perspectives. We embrace them as the work of God in our midst. And that's who we're called to be today. I've mentioned before the book that our council has read called Canoeing the Mountains. And I reiterate that again today because one of the things that it's helped me to understand is that changing of perspective is necessary to live into a changing world. In the book, Lewis and Clark think that after they canoe their way all the way to the top of the Continental Divide, they think they're going to be able to canoe their way all the way back to the Pacific Ocean as they're looking for that famous Northwest Passage. However, they realize when they get to the top of the Continental Divide and they look down and they find the Rocky Mountains and realize that they cannot canoe the mountains, that they must find a new path, a new way. And that, in a broader sense, is what's happening in Christianity throughout the world today. And in our little part of the kingdom, our part of the vineyard, that is happening here now too. And that's okay. That's a good thing. It's a change of perspective for us that allows us to see how God is blossoming new ministries among us and new ways for us to be church together in this place in a way that helps the world realize that they are loved and cherished by an amazing God. That's what we get to do, being sent from our baptism. Maybe a little card I gave you will help you, but I hope it's just the beginning of you as you start learning a new perspective, that you are an evangelist, a disciple for the goodness of Christ. And while we love for those people to show up here at Bethel, a lot of your work in bringing the kingdom of God to others will be with people who will never darken our doors. People who we may never meet, and the only Christ that they will know, the only one that they will hear in that moment will be you and your word of hope. We are the called. We are the sent. We are the enlightened, baptized people of God. Invited by our Lord to not only embrace His love for us, but to be the purveyors of that love where we can. And that is the most important paradigm shift and perspective that we can have, that we can ever have, is to always see ourselves through the eyes of Jesus and how He sees us and how He sees you. And how the unique way He has created you has been created for times when you alone can make the difference for Him and His kingdom. That is the paradigm shift of baptism. That is the perspective of being the sent children of God. See yourselves as God sees you. And may others see God in Christ's love in us all. In Jesus' name, amen.